the mic. This is Knezovic with Michelle Knezovic on Nashville's best sports talk, 102.5 and 106.3 The Game, and on the Game Nashville app.
Happy Saturday morning, everyone. Welcome into the Michelle Knezovic Show. And today is going to be a great day. And you want to know why today's going to be a great day, Jared Cassidy?
Why?
It's because we have college football. College football is back, baby. We have made it through the summer. And football is officially back. And we also got a home Titans game tonight. So basically hit on what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk college football, the teams that actually will be in action today. And then you and I were talking before this, Jared, that doesn't really start until next week. But we do have games today. So that is all that matters. If you tune onto the radio this morning, 102.5, 106.3, welcome into the Michelle Knezovic Show. I'm Michelle Knezovic. We've got Jared Cassidy. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studios on this Saturday morning. We will have you covered for the next hour, talking lots of college football, SEC, talking Tennessee Titans, pretty much a fully football-focused show today, and I don't have a problem about that. But first off, Jared, how are we doing this morning?
Great. How about yourself?
Listen, I'm doing good. I am in like full fall mode. I got my pumpkin iced coffee right here. Football is starting back today. All I need is, you know, just a little bit of fall weather. I'm kind of over this heat. I'm a northerner, and I can't do these humid summers. So I'm very much ready to transition into the fall, Jared.
Yeah, it's definitely, for me, it's the hoodie shorts weather coming up, and that's obviously my favorite time of the year.
Yes.
Yeah, let's get rid of this heat. Let's get into some football, and let's have a good couple of months coming down the stretch here this year.
Yes, and for all of you Vanderbilt fans, you can listen to the Vanderbilt game tonight on 93.3 on our airwaves. It's going to be a late one, though. Vanderbilt in Hawaii, 9:30 p.m. So if you are up for that, I salute you because, well, I'll be covering the Tennessee Titans game, but I probably would be in bed because I am a grandma and I wake up early every day. So Vanderbilt 93.3 on our airwaves tonight. They're taking on Hawaii. We're going to talk a little lines later in the show, too. We're going to give you some betting props because who doesn't love college football, but who doesn't love to win money on college football? Makes it even better. If you listened to the show before, you know how we like to start every morning. It's with the morning brew. So we're going to talk some headlines, mostly football, but grab your coffee. We're going to let you know everything going on in the world of sports related to Nashville specifically, and then also some of the national headlines as well. First off this morning, I want to address a national headline that came out of the Bengals-Rams joint practices on Thursday. So this came out Thursday afternoon, and then, you know, a lot of the national media, a lot of local media covered it kind of the next day just because it was such a huge story. So Aaron Donald, I can confidently say the best player in the NFL right now. There was a scuffle between him and some of the Cincinnati Bengals players. And then people were kind of throwing their helmets off and everything like that. And he took his helmet and started hitting people with it. We all remember when Mason Rudolph got hit in the head by a helmet during an NFL game and then was suspended for 6 games. That is completely unacceptable by Aaron Donald. Completely unacceptable. I don't know if the league, listen, if the NFL wants to do something, they can't do something. And right now, I don't want the NFL just to get sit back and be like, well, technically it was in practice, so it doesn't, you know, we can't do anything about it because it wasn't in a game. So it's Myles Garrett who hit Mason Rudolph, and then he ended up getting suspended for 6 games. Aaron Donald could have killed somebody out there. If somebody took their helmet off and Aaron Donald was slamming people with helmets and he hit somebody without a helmet on, you hit them the right way, you hit them with enough force, and that is a very strong guy, he could have killed somebody. That is so incredibly dangerous. I was talking to Derek Mason in between Robbie and Rex Road yesterday and Chase Willie and D-Mace, and I said, D-Mace, I get it. You you are in a joint practice, you know, it's really hot. A lot of the players are vocal that, you know, we don't like joint practices. Everybody's hot. It's the end of training camp. The environments are hostile. And yeah, scuffle might come up. But for you to go and take your helmet and just forcefully hit someone, not throw your helmets off and start punching, you know, and like actually fighting, whatever. That's in football. We see it a lot. But I think that is completely unacceptable. And I think that the league needs to do something about this. And don't tell me that you're going to suspend him for the preseason game, because that is not anything. He wasn't even going to play in it anyway, I guarantee. So I also think that Sean McVay should say something about this. I haven't. I think he did have a comment about it, but I know Aaron Donald is the best player on your team, but I want him to speak out and, you know, almost vouch for the suspension, which I know he won't because he's the best player on their team and who would want that. But that behavior by Aaron Donald is extremely unacceptable. Could have really, really hurt somebody. And he's lucky that he didn't. I don't know, Jared, did you see the video from that?
Oh yeah. The only thing that's stopping me now is that obviously it's a preseason practice, however you want to label it, that they say that they can't find him. And that's understandable if that's the rule, but still, if that's assault, brother. Like, that is – that. If you hit someone with a helmet, it's a deadly weapon. I mean, you can pick up anything and be charged with a deadly weapon. It's kind of crazy.
It's 100% assault.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's without a doubt. And I don't see how you can get that upset or to that point. Like, I mean, to want to do that to somebody on the football field, knowing that, like, here in a couple of days or today or tomorrow, they're going to have to play them. And so – you don't think that's going to give them a little bit more fire, even though it is the preseason and it doesn't matter, but still, that could lead to more injuries for your team. There's so many things that could happen from that one instance.
Well, and he's such a face of this league too, right? Coming off a Super Bowl, just got that huge extension, such a positive face. And to see him do that and act that way, you know, I want the league. I don't think they will, because it's the NFL and they, I mean, when Myles Garrett hit Mason Rudolph, yes, it was in a game, but they stood up and said 6 games. That's absolutely unacceptable. I don't care if it's a practice. Like, you do something. So that's going to be an ongoing story. Switching to a little bit local, the Tennessee Titans had a joint practice this week with the Arizona Cardinals. It was just one day joint practice. And then the next day, since Vanderbilt is in Hawaii, the Cardinals were practicing at the Vanderbilt football facility. And then tonight, they're preseason game to round out preseason and finally head into some real football. Jared, I'm finally ready for this preseason stuff to be over, because we will not be seeing a lot of the starters. I can bet a lot of money on we're not going to be seeing a lot of the starters on the Tennessee Titans tonight. There's going to be no Ryan Tannehill. There's going to be no Derrick Henry, no Kevin Byard. Probably not Taylor Lewan. He played the other day against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at home. But I think what we're going to see a lot tonight is a lot of rookie guys out there. And there's going to be a bunch of different position battles that we're going to get into a little bit on the other side of the break, of guys really trying to solidify a spot on this roster, which is really exciting for them too, right? And Kevin Byard spoke on it this week. You know, it's really exciting for us to see all these rookies trying so hard, or even just guys who've been in the league for a bit and who've kind of jumped ship around the league, just trying to solidify a spot on a roster. So not only are they playing for a spot on Tennessee's roster, but any other NFL team out there watching that's looking maybe to get a little bit more depth at a certain position.
I was going to say that's probably the number one thing that I look for in this game, is like the third or what used to be the fourth preseason game, was that, like, not only are these guys fighting for a spot on, like, the Titans, but they are also fighting for other spots on other teams where, like you said, somebody needs depth, somebody gets hurt last preseason game. You got to fill a roster spot. Like, for example, right now we need a right tackle. Mm-hmm. So maybe somebody that's playing, we get some tape on them and we can kind of get a little bit more to know what they're going to give us and what we could get from them.
No, 100%, Jared. Right tackle is going to be a huge position battle that I'm going to be looking out for tonight. Also, punter.
Yeah.
Stonehouse, the rookie, has been holding a bit. And I know everybody knows Brett Kern. You love Brett Kern. But I think that Brett Kern has the slight edge. I think they are going to keep the veteran because they're not going to sign two punters, especially because they're looking to potentially have three quarterbacks on the roster. We're going to get a little bit deeper into that this show. Could Malik Willis fight for that second spot? I think one of the hardest things is obviously Malik Willis is a rookie, and the Tennessee Titans didn't expect to get him where he fell in the draft. I think a lot of people were surprised to see where he fell in the draft. This was a weird, weird quarterback class. And Logan Woodside has been the backup for a bit, and he's been a fine option for the Tennessee Titans. But we saw what this Tennessee team looked like last year when they had all of these injuries, and they were lucky that Ryan Tannehill didn't get injured. Because the drop-off from your first string to your second string quarterback is the biggest drop-off in any position. Well, in most teams. But the quarterback is the most important position out there, and you need to be prepared for these what-if scenarios. If Ryan Tannehill does go down, he suffered from injuries in Miami, and we've seen him getting banged up before. And if Tennessee has all of these pieces around him, and say it's midway through the season, and God forbid he does get hurt, you need to have a solid option that could get you through a couple games. Or if it's a season-ending one, you need somebody who's going to be able to hold this team. And no, you don't want to think about those scenarios, but if you put on your GM or your coach hat, you have to, because you're playing football.
Yep.
You go.
I was just going to say, if anything that the Titans have shown us over the past couple of years is that they just truly do not value the backup quarterback spot, except for Ryan Tannehill when they acquired him. That's where we are right now. But that's just – I mean, they just don't – it doesn't seem like it's a high priority, and it's the most important position on the field.
So the backup quarterback position – Jared, you followed this Tennessee team forever. You grew up in Middle Tennessee, and you said they don't value this position. There was a posting or a ranking, a media outlet put it out, a ranking of backup quarterbacks in the league, and I almost said Mason Rudolph. Logan Woodside ranked at 31st. So pretty much at the bottom of the barrel, you get a rookie like Malik Willis coming in, but then again, he is still a rookie. And do you feel confident enough in him to be able to take this team and lead this team and win games in the NFL if Ryan Tannehill does come back, go down? But the Tennessee Titans did invite somebody and worked out in the organization later this week. And we're going to tell you who that was at the backup quarterback position. You're listening to the Michelle Knezevic Show on 102.5, 106.3 in the Game Nashville app.
You know, there was times that, you know, we never want him to be a sitting duck, but there's also a progression. I've seen him work through his progression. I've seen him improve his timing. And then I've seen him, you know, being able to slide up in the pocket. You know, he hit Hassan when he slid up, and then he slid up and was able to attack the defense. And that's where you can make a lot of damage, you know, in this league. And then if you go out, you know, the back of the pocket, you know, using numerous quarterbacks as an example, but Josh Allen's made a living, you know, going out and making plays out of the pocket and throwing the ball downfield and keeping his eyes downfield. But there's also a time to get in and break it down a defense and then make sure that you're, you know, protecting yourself and the equipment.
Mike Vrabel earlier this week speaking on Malik Willis and his progress through the preseason games, through training camp, and where he sees him right now and where he sees him going forward. And when Mike Vrabel said that in the press conference, I was a little surprised, because sometimes you never know what you're going to get, if he's going to really elaborate on a player or if he's going to, you know, just kind of give a simple answer of, we've enjoyed watching his progress, he's progressed. But when he started to speak about Malik Willis there, I really, you know, honed in and leaned in on it, because Malik Willis is the biggest storyline, I would say, in the preseason, especially because he has a chance to win that backup role, which we didn't think, or I personally didn't think, and I know a lot of other people didn't think, that there was a shot at him winning the backup role. Welcome back into the Michelle Knezevic Show. I'm Michelle Knezevic. We got Jared Cassidy. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio. If you want to weigh in on this backup quarterback position, text us, call us, 615-737-1025, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. You can also watch us streaming on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, presented by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Getting back on track right now. Jared, my coffee didn't kick in the first segment. We're talking a little backup quarterback situation for the Tennessee Titans. Logan Woodside has obviously been the Tennessee Titans' backup quarterback for a bit. He's beaten other guys out, such as Trevor Siemian, who actually kind of lit it up for the Bears the other day, former Northwesterner. And Logan Woodside hasn't needed to perform because, knock on wood, Ryan Tannehill has been healthy. But you need to be prepared for situations like that, because if he goes down, it could be the rise and fall of your season. And is Malik Willis ready to put on his helmet, get out there, and lead this team? I've seen his leadership in practice. You can definitely tell that he has those leadership skills, and in the huddle, from an outsider looking in, people respect him. And those are all great. But at the end of the day, he still is working to get those skills up to an NFL quality quarterback. So, I mean, he played at Liberty and lit it up. And some of the athletic moves we saw by him, he was able to do because he was playing at Liberty. The NFL is a completely different dog. And I definitely think that he has progressed a lot from rookie minicamp all the way up until these preseason games. And I remember sitting watching the Baltimore game, their first preseason game, and seeing that Malik Willis was starting. And honestly, I had zero expectations for him. And I think that you can look at that game really two different ways. If you take five specific plays, he can look like one of the most amazing rookies ever. And then if you take another five plays and match him up, he can look like he has no idea what he's doing out there. So, very polarizing opinions, but I think, you know, there were glimpses of it, which helps fans, which helps the organization, which helps Mike Vrabel say, okay, like, we're seeing these things, right? And now it's a matter of, you know, being able to be consistent with them and stacking those days. And I think you've definitely been able to see him, you know, progress as training camp's going on, as these preseason games are going on, which is what you want. But on the flip side, he still is a rookie, and you want to really focus on his development. Too many times in this league have we seen, you know, rookies just get thrown out there and they don't do well. I think of Mitch Trubisky with the Bears. I think of him getting thrown out there and then you don't hear, oh, he's a bust, right? And then he's the backup for the Bills for a while. And now he's finally kind of getting his, you know, second chance as potentially a starter with the Pittsburgh Steelers. If I'm assuming he's going to be the starter, at least starting off, and then you've obviously got Kenny Pickett behind him. But too many times in this league do we see guys who, you know, are these top draft picks and expected to be this absolutely incredible quarterback, and it just doesn't – a lot of times guys just don't translate, they don't develop, and then you kind of write them off really early. So the way I look at it is you don't want that to happen. If you want Malik Willis to be your franchise quarterback someday, I don't think you want to just throw him in there. But then the problem becomes, do you sign three quarterbacks? Because if you put Malik Willis on the practice squad, you have to make him – that makes him available to every other NFL team, and I would bet my left arm that somebody would scoop him up. So you don't want to do that. You want Malik Willis. You could risk putting Logan Woodside on the practice squad and hope that, you know, another team around the league – doesn't sign him. But yesterday a report came out that former Packers backup quarterback, Kurt Benkert. Now that is a tongue twister. I was saying that to you during the break. Kurt Benkert. Looks like he worked out with the Tennessee Titans yesterday, because obviously the Packers, they've got, you know, Aaron Rodgers and then Jordan Love behind him, their rookie right behind him, that they're trying to develop whenever Aaron Rodgers is ready to step off his throne there in Green Bay. So what could we see with that? He worked out with the team. You know, could we see him try to get a roster spot? Final cuts are coming up soon. Jared, what do you think? But the thing is, they bring in guys like this, and Logan Woodside just seems to beat him out every time.
Yeah, but I think that's more on the Titans organization. Like, he's like a people guy, and so they don't want to cut the people guy or the glue guy of the room. I just think, like, from what we've seen, and granted it's a small sample size, but like Logan Woodside's probably not going to get it done. I told you I would like to see them sign a veteran quarterback, somebody that can back up Ryan Tannehill, have Malik Willis there, let him learn. If eventually something happens, you can move. You have room then to move. I understand carrying three quarterbacks is not what we want to do, but you can't make Malik Willis available because somebody's going to snag him.
Somebody is definitely going to take him.
Yeah. So, I mean, your hand's kind of already been played. You have basically two options, like I laid out. You're going to sign somebody, which I'm not opposed to that because it doesn't – you're not – when you sign somebody like that, you are signing them to the backup role. It's not like you're signing them to take over Ryan Tannehill's job, and he knows that. But you have to have that security blanket that you have to have a reliable veteran-style quarterback. It's just you have to have those kind of things in order to be successful. And when you throw a rookie quarterback out there, 9 times out of 10, you're not going to have a whole lot of success. Look at Mac Jones. I mean, last year they asked him to do very small things, and he was very successful at it. But the second that they asked him or he decided that he was going to do an Alabama-style play, the play broke down, and it was a lost play. So you can't have those kind of mistakes if you're going to start a rookie quarterback.
Well, and – also, too, I think as a rookie, I think Mac Jones was a great example. Bill Belichick, I mean, he's quite the coach up there in New England. He knew what he needed to expect of Mac Jones. And I think there was like one game where didn't he like not even throw it or something? Like, so it was something crazy. Yeah.
They ran it.
They just run the ball, Mac Jones. But, you know, in a weird way, you look at it and confidence is such a big part of being a quarterback, right? Being able to be confident out there and being able to, you know, pick your guy, confidently throw it to them. And you think about the quarterbacks, the successful quarterbacks, Joe Burrow, I think of, right? This young guy, but he oozes this confidence and he knows who he is.
Right.
And if you put a rookie out there, Malik Willis out there, that confidence can go down very quickly, especially if it's, say, 7 games in and you're about halfway through the season. Ryan Tannehill does go out and you throw him out there and maybe he is ready, maybe he isn't ready. But, like, hurting that confidence, maybe he has 3 really crappy games in a row or something, and then it just goes downhill from them and it affects the development of him.
Yeah, I kind of think that, like you said earlier, too, is like it depends on the organization. Like the Steelers are in a transition right now after getting rid of Big Ben, but they're a steady organization. I mean, they're not, you know what I'm saying? They're
Steel
not
Steel City, baby.
Right. Steel here. Like they're not going to fold. I mean, they will have a rough patch, but I mean, like the Bears, they're not a great run organization. I mean, it's no secret. Like
right now.
Right, correct. But I mean, if you throw a rookie quarterback into the Bears, like you're not going to get the same results as you would if you started if Kenny Pickett started for the Steelers. The Steelers have been there, they have a little bit more success. I just don't see that the Bears doing anything like that. It's just it's obviously hard to put a rookie quarterback in these kind of situations, but certain times call for it. Like Marcus. Like the time called for Marcus to hop in when he was here with the Titans.
And I think the organization part of this is a big thing as well, and where your organization is right now in this period of time. This, for instance, the Steelers, Big Ben obviously rode off into the sunset, and their team has been a bit in a rebuild mode, you know, trying to get pieces surrounding now Kenny Pickett or Mitch Trubisky, who I think he is going to start first. But the Tennessee Titans, coming off the 1 seed in the AFC last year, are very much in a go-for-it mode. You've got Derrick Henry in his prime. You've got Jeffrey Simmons really on the rise. And a lot of these players just coming together, and you have so many of these pieces that you need to have somebody at that backup quarterback position if something happens to Ryan Tannehill, that you would be ready to jump in and continue that playoff push for what everybody is trying to go for, a Super Bowl. And Tennessee Titans got very close to it last year. But there's another position battle that I think could be very detrimental to this roster if they don't figure it out soon. I'll tell you what that is next. You're listening to the Michelle Knezevic Show on 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Yeah, the bad North Dakota State, the Bison, they were well represented yesterday by Dylan Radins. He started the game at right tackle and basically got tossed around. I mean, on the opening series for the Titans on third down, they left Radins on an island on the right side. He had a pass rusher coming in from lined up very wide. There was no tight end out there. There was no help. And this happens often in preseason games where coaches will leave players on an island, whether it's a pass blocker or a corner on a wide receiver or a linebacker having to cover a running back in coverage. They'll leave them on an island to see what they can do. So Raiden's first opportunity, he took his set on that guy all by himself on a big old island, and the pass rusher gave him a club with his inside arm and bent Raiden's over sideways away from the line of scrimmage. I mean, just about tossed him onto his ear. I'm surprised Raiden didn't go down. That's where Corey Levin, I think it was Levin, bailed him out, right? But that wasn't good. That's one play. But there were so many other plays where Raiden's actually got his man blocked from the standpoint of the guy didn't get to the quarterback. But it looked incredibly crazy. Raiden's arms and legs just spread every which way. You know, he wasn't punching. He was catching. So he was the punching bag. He wasn't turning the defender into the punching bag. There was nothing to fear if you're a pass rusher when you rush Raiden's, because he's not going to harm you in any way. He's just going to sort of get his hands on you and try to envelop you and catch you and then try to drop anchor. Well, a lot of times he'll do that, but instead of dropping anchor or before he drops anchor, he'll end up getting pushed back with both feet in the air. Now he's airborne. And then he puts both feet down. He's able to drop anchor enough to where the guy doesn't get to the quarterback. Well, you go against starting NFL pass rushers, and you're going to get absolutely annihilated. And so he just did not inspire in me confidence that he's at a place where the foundation is when he can build from and become a starting right tackle, where Petit Frere kind of showed that foundation a little bit at that position. Now, it's one game. It wasn't against the Ravens starters. There's a lot that they can both get better at. But that's what I saw in this first game, and I expected better out of Dylan Radin.
Was Trevor Maddich on Stillman and Company after the first preseason game in Baltimore, really diving deep into what he saw from Dylan Radins, not too promising. And Trevor Maddich has spoken a lot about Dylan Radins and how he is not confident in him at that right tackle position. Welcome back into the Michelle Knezevic Show. I'm Michelle Knezevic. We've got Jared Cassidy. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studios. If you want to weigh in on this conversation, anything, position battle you're looking out for, who you think will be the backup quarterback, what the Titans are going to do at right tackle, 615-737-1025, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. If you want to watch the stream, we're live Monday through Saturday. Can't forget Saturday. 6 to 6 Monday through Friday, and then obviously 9 to 10 on Saturdays. Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, Facebook Live, presented by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. So I want to dive a little bit into what Trevor Maddich said there. Obviously an offensive line guy and is able to look at film and point out things like that. Whereas maybe, well, pretty much anybody who's not an offensive line guy can look at it and just kind of see specific plays. But Trevor does such a good job of articulating it and drawing a picture in your head for you. Sometimes I listen to that quote with my eyes closed before, and I feel like I could like imagine the play, which is kind of funny if you think about it. But this is really concerning for the Titans. Dylan Radins being a second round pick, right? His college career got affected by COVID. Then he didn't play last year. And everybody thought he was going to, you know, play more. What's happening with him? Why isn't he out there? And that was a big question last year. And then that storyline, of course, transitions into this year when you see David Quessenberry go up to Buffalo, which he's a depth guy for them up there, but he has been taking first team reps. It is just, to me, I'm almost, I don't know if I want to say biting my tongue, or you wish that David Quessenberry, they would have just signed him to about a $2 million deal and he'd be able to be, you know, another fine piece. But at this point with Dylan Radins, he's a young guy, and I think you got to be pretty concerned at right tackle. He traditionally played left tackle and has been trying to develop into NFL right tackle, and then you got rookie behind him, Nicholas Petitfrere, coming in from Ohio State, who looks like, I mean, I personally think he's going to be the starter week one. We saw Dylan Radins shuffle into a guard position earlier this week, potentially be a swing tackle. And I think you still keep Dylan Radins on the roster for a depth position, and he's a guy who could be sufficient or okay at, you know, a right tackle if he needs to come in, or a guard position. Or you can plug him in if somebody gets hurt and he's a depth guy on this team. But I really do not see him starting at this right tackle position. So then you put it on the rookie, Nicholas Petitfrere. And Trevor Maddich explained there that, yeah, you've seen some promising developmental things from Nicholas Petitfrere. But then again, he still is a rookie, and he's going up against ones in the NFL where we've only really seen him gone up against, you know, people's backups and during these preseason games. Yes, they are still guys in the NFL, but they aren't everyone's starting lineup, and a lot of people aren't playing their offensive linemen if they don't need to in these preseason games. Heading over to the text line, over my WilsonCountyHyundai.com, Josh just texted in, how crazy would it be if they could get Andrew Withworth out of retirement for a year? Thanks, Josh. I mean, yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah, I just don't see it happening.
Yeah, unfortunately, I mean, yeah, coming off the Super Bowl, hey, you want to come down to Nashville a little bit? I feel like he kind of ended his career on, you know, a high, and he also won the Man of the Year award.
Right, Walter Payton.
Yeah, Walter Payton award. Oh, yeah, that'd be awesome, Josh. You can't tease us like that, but unfortunately not realistic. I don't see it as realistic, but then you look into, okay, what can the Tennessee Titans do? Let's be realistic about the situation. What is out there? What can they do? Well, final cuts will be made, you know, coming up this week. Can you get somebody who didn't make another NFL roster? Can you get somebody who didn't make their depth, right? They didn't make their first, second, or third string, because offensive line, you're going to have depth at that position. Are you going to want a guy like that who, I mean, maybe that'll work. I look at it and I kind of just think, oh, I wish you could have just signed David Quessenberry to, you know, a $2 million contract or something like that. And maybe they had more faith in Dylan Radins, and he really just hasn't developed and isn't where he should be at this point. And there goes another second-round draft pick that is not playing. And you need a second-round draft pick to be able to play and start for you.
Yeah, I tend to think several of our shows brought it up this week that he is like a utility, you know, on the offensive line. Like, he's like a utility player, and that's fine. But if you drafted him in the second round, you want him to be a utility player, then he should be able to sustain a couple of games at that position, at said position. My problem is, though, they've known about this and had this problem for multiple months now, and they have chose to sit and do nothing about it, mm-hmm. of bringing somebody in, and now you're going to wait on a roster cut. Look, I know I said earlier that, you know, it'd be great to have a, you know, plug-and-play kind of veteran player, but the thing is, they got cut from that roster for a reason, guys.
Exactly.
It's not like they're great and they're just hanging out there. Like, they are on there for a reason. But with that being said, if you have somebody with a veteran presence on that offensive line, I think it's better than – I think the Radins experiments, like Stillman said, I think it's done. I think it's over. I think time to cut your losses. If you want to keep him on the roster, I'm fine. If you want to use him as like a utility plug and play, but I think you give it to the rookie. And if you don't sign somebody, I mean, I don't see any other option. I mean, it just does not. The thing that kills me is that they've known about this, and mm-hmm. you've had more than enough time to address it or draft somebody.
And I mean, they have, obviously, we know the story of their past drafting offensive linemen.
Not good.
And how it hasn't worked out too well for them. But I think to look on the bright side of it, right, Taylor Lewan is another year off of his ACL injury. And he's been very vocal at the fact of coming into camp last year, he could barely even keep up with people and was so out of shape. And I mean, Taylor Lewan's always a vocal guy, but he specifically said at the beginning of these OTAs, he was like, I feel good. My body feels good. I feel a lot better. So that's promising that he's going to hopefully have a better season just based off of his conditioning and him being in shape and not coming off a season and rehabbing the knee to get back at NFL. First off, be able to rehab the injury, and second off, be able to play in the league at that left tackle position. Also, Nate Davis had COVID twice last year, and it really affected him. So I think that this year, right, he's going to be a little bit healthier. He's going to be working in tandem with whoever's at that right tackle position. You've obviously got Ben Jones in there. But the right tackle position is just so important.
Yeah, it's a big one.
And so Josh texted back in on the text line. If you want to weigh in on this conversation, 615-737-1025, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Josh said, wonder if they take into account looking into other leagues, such as the USFL, who just played an entire season. Thanks for texting in, Josh. I mean, that's an option. Sometimes you can find guys in those leagues who are able to translate their game into the NFL. But I think it's the point that you mentioned, Jared. They've known about this. They've had the time to do something about this. I think tonight, I want to see Dylan Radin's play because you have him on your roster, and I'm not ready to rule him out. I think, like you said, depth guy, swing tackle guy. But hey, if he can let it all click and he can get it together, sure, of course you want to play a right tackle. But we just haven't seen it yet. 615-737-1025. On the other side, we'll talk about the receiving depth on this roster. Who is one rookie that has really turned heads during this training camp? You're listening to the Michelle Knezevic Show on 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Yeah, I mean, I've said from the beginning, Robert Woods has looked great. I guess I've been more impressed with, you know, Nick Westbrook, his progression. Obviously, Kyle Phillips has been like Ryan's go-to receiver and two-man in a lot of different situations. Obviously, Racy has emerged as a deep threat. But I've just been impressed with a lot of the younger guys. And like you said, more often than not, just Kyle Phillips coming in as a rookie, being a really good route runner, polished, and giving guys a lot of trouble. Obviously, you've seen during joint practices and things like that. So I already knew who Robert Woods was when he came here, but like I said, impressed with Nick and Kyle and Racy and all these other guys.
That was Kevin Byard earlier this week speaking on some of the young receivers, some of the more experienced receivers, but specifically pointing out Kyle Phillips, young receiver out of UCLA, turning heads in training camp this year. Welcome back into the Michelle Knezevic Show. I'm Michelle Knezevic, joined with Jared Cassidy. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studios, final segment of this Saturday of the show. If you want to weigh in, 615-737-1025. We're also streaming on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, powered by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. I want to dive deeper into what Kevin Byard just said there, in specifically saying, you know, Kyle Phillips has been Ryan Tannehill's top target. Coming into training camp, a lot of the eyes at receiver position, at that receiver room, we're not around Nick Westbrook-Ikhine. We're not around Racy McMath. They were around Treylon Burks. And we haven't heard or seen much at all from him since that first week in training camp. We all know the backstory of getting into training camp and him not being able to stay on the field, whether it was the asthma, whether he was out of shape. But then, you know, first week into training camp, he has a huge catch, and pretty much that just throws all those conversations out the window. But he hasn't been the receiver that's been turning heads in camp. It's been the speedy Kyle Phillips, who can break ankles left and right out there and is beating DBs and has really, really impressed a lot of people. And I think is going to be a very solid option at the slot position. And Kevin Byard even said it, has been one of Ryan Tannehill's top targets. I mean, that guy is quick. His feet, he is so like short and I don't want to, not stout, that's not the right, short and squatty, but like can just like move around so quick. He's insane out there. He's beating people left and right. Tampa Bay, there was one DB and he literally broke his ankles and the DB fell over when Kyle like faked one way and went the other. But he's a guy who I don't even think we're going to see much of him at all tonight because he's going to be on this roster. He's going to be a name that you are going to hear a lot of this year with Ryan Tannehill. Also great on special teams. He's been a punt returner and it was kind of funny when asked about it in training camp, he was like, Yeah, special teams have always been really important, especially at UCLA. They wanted us to be really versatile, and any NFL coach is going to love it if they can have a star guy also be great at special teams, because just more room on a roster to sign somebody else. You don't have to get somebody specific or try to or teach somebody, but he's played on special teams, and he's like, yeah, basically you have to be pretty much crazy to want to be a returner because you have an entire NFL team just running straight towards you. And I was like, yeah, you really got to be pretty crazy. Like, I thought about it in that mentality. And he's like, yeah, you're literally just standing there waiting as an entire NFL team is just absolutely charging full force at you.
Yeah, it's got to be a weird situation to be thrown into, right?
Yeah, like, I feel like the way he articulated it, I've always watched it, right? And you're just, you know, watching it. But he was like, no, yeah, you got to be pretty much insane, like Suicide Squad out there. And I was like, wow, yeah, that is pretty crazy now that you think about it. But listen, we saw him. I think he had a couple big returns in the game last week against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And hopefully we see, you know, maybe a couple series from him tonight. I don't even know if he will play. I think it is going to be a lot of guys really trying to get the, you know, the 50th, the 51st, those last couple spots on this roster. As far as the receiving core heading into this training camp, I was really nervous about it, and I feel really confident about it rounding out training camp. I mean, you got Robert Woods, who looks great coming off that ACL injury, and the chemistry that him and Tannehill have been able to build just in these short couple months of being here looks great. Austin Hooper at tight end, Chigakonkwa at tight end, the rookie out of Maryland who could have gone first round, and TD's been saying it since the beginning. Teron said, this guy's first rounder. I think he's going to be great this year for the Tennessee Titans. Maybe we could see a little two tight end action for Ryan Tannehill out there. You've got Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, who, if you would have told us a couple years ago, you would have looked at me like I had five heads. I remember before training camp last year when Joe Rex wrote the article on Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, that a source inside the organization told them that they really like what they see from him. And everybody was like, Joe, what are you talking about? You have no idea what you're talking about. What did we see last year? And building off that even more this year, him and Ryan Tannehill, he looks great out there. Definitely looks like he's put on some muscle too. And then you've got Treylon Burks, who we've seen glimpses of it, but haven't seen much at all from him in these preseason games. In training camp, we saw the first week, and then he kind of plateaued a bit. So I don't really know what to expect from him, if he'll play today. You want to see him because we haven't seen much from him in game action at all. And then a little bit further down, we've also got Kyle Phillips. We already touched on him. Racy McMath has been a guy who's turned heads. And then could Des Fitzpatrick make that sixth spot if they decide to hold six receivers? But I'm feeling really confident in that. I'm also feeling confident in saying that I think that the quantity of them can be – so you look at AJ and Julio, right? They're these huge names in the wide receiver world. And yeah, you have Robert Woods, who he was on the Rams, and people know his name. People know him in the league. But everybody else in this room, they're kind of young, but it works, right? You don't always have to have one superstar, but if you can have a bunch of guys, a bunch of different options for Ryan Tannehill, it works. And they look good out there. And I think Ryan Tannehill looks really good out there. He looks really confident. And I'm excited to see what this offense can do against some ones out there because, right, we haven't seen Tannehill in a preseason game. Not going to. He's not going to be playing tonight for obvious reasons. And I know they play the Giants week one, but I'm excited to see what this offense can do against another starting defense. As far as the defense goes, very confident. I think this defense can be a top five, I think top three defense in the league. I mean, you look at that pass rush, just building the chemistry another year. Jeffrey Simmons caught a little weight, looks great out there, right? Bud Dupree even got a couple snaps in the preseason games. He's another year off injury. So all of these pieces just coming more and more together. The secondary, it's young. They're young back there. I think they're going to need a little bit more depth at outside linebacker and safety, but the corners are really coming together. Roger McCreary's been a guy who the coaches have been very high on. He's very versatile. Kind of reminds me of a Nick Westbrook-Ikhine. Can play all the positions. That's on the other side of the ball. And Shane Bowen and Vrabel have been very outspoken that they're very pleased with his progress out there. That kind of wraps it up for the Titans talk. They're going to play at 6 p.m. tonight, and then we'll be recapping the game all week on our airwaves. Really, really quick before we leave today, we got college football, and I can't forget to give you at least the line. Listen, Nebraska favored by 11.5 against Northwestern. I'm taking Northwestern. There is no way this Nebraska team and Frost is going to be able to beat them by 11-plus points. Jared, really quick, who are you taking?
Ooh, I'm going against the grain, Nebraska.
Okay, there you go. I hope everybody has a great Saturday. College football is back. We will be here, same time, same place. And we're going to have some real matchups to talk about next week. Hope you have a great Saturday. You're listening to the Michelle Knezvik Show on 102.5, 106.3 in the Game Nashville app.